Today, we will read Mark chapter 8. Before we begin, let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us today. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand what your word is saying and how it applies to our lives. Lord, teach us, guide us, show us what you would have us learn. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 8. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way, because some of them have come a long distance." His disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Seven," they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them and also told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. After he had sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus, to test him. They asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, "Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given it." Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for 1 loaf they had with them in the boat. "Be careful," Jesus warned them. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." They discussed this with one another and said, "It is because we have no bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't even go into the village." Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." "But "What about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes into his Father's glory with the holy angels." All right, we had a longer reading today, so let's talk about a few things in this reading and what we saw today. We begin with the story of Jesus feeding the 4,000. Now, this is the second time that Jesus feeds a large group of people with just a small amount. And so it's interesting that when Jesus says, "Oh, these people need to eat. I want to give them food," his disciples seem to have already forgotten what he did last time, because they say, "What? Well, where can we find bread? I don't know. We're too far away to feed them. We can't get bread to feed all these people." Somehow, they have already forgotten what Jesus did. Yet Jesus does it again. He takes the bread that they have and the fish that they have, divides it, and feeds all the people. Then he gets into the boat and continues traveling. And the disciples are once again worried about not having bread. Now, I'll be honest and say I'm not sure what they did with the 7 basketfuls of food that they have left over. Maybe they gave them to the poor, or they sent them home with some of the 4,000. But apparently they didn't have bread in the boat. And so they begin talking about this. Now, Jesus says, "Be careful. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." What is he talking about? What does he mean by the yeast of the Pharisees? Well, just before this, before he got into the boat and left, or I guess after he got into the boat, that the Pharisees had come to Jesus and questioned him. And they said, "Give us a sign. Show us that you really are God. Show us that you really are who you say you are." And it's interesting that he says, "Why are you asking for me for a sign? I tell you, I'm not going to give you a sign." And why does he answer this way? Because the truth is, he has given sign after sign after sign. He has shown them again and again and again who he is. He did that with the miracles. He did that just now in this story by feeding 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread. He has showed who he is, yet they will not accept what he has given them. And so Jesus warns them, be careful. Do not let their unbelief get into your heart and grow. We must be careful not to allow the unbelief of others to affect us and to pull us away from our faith in Jesus. Because the disciples had seen it, and even now they had forgotten that they had just seen Jesus feed 4,000 people with just a little bit of bread. Yet they are worried because, oh, we only have 1 loaf of bread. What are we going to do? They forgot again. They had seen him feed thousands of people twice. And yet they're worried about whether he will provide for them. God wants us to have faith, to just trust him, not to worry, not to allow other people to put ideas of doubt into our heart, but to just follow and trust him. Now, next, Jesus goes and he heals a blind man. And he puts his hands in his eyes and apparently spits on them. And the man at first can only see a little bit. And then he puts his hands on his eyes again. And he is completely well. And he can see clearly. So Jesus again demonstrates his power to heal, to allow us to see even. I pray that God would put his hands on the eyes of your mind, that your mind would see clearly, that he would allow you to see what is true and to believe it. And so, Jesus asks his disciples, who do people say that I am? And so there are different answers. Some of them think that he is John the Baptist come back. Others say, no, here is another prophet from the Old Testament. But Peter recognizes that he is the Messiah. The Messiah, the one who was promised long ago. The one that God said he would send to save his people. And so Jesus says, yes. And now that they know who he is, he begins to explain more about what that means. You see, when they thought he was the Messiah, and they understood that, they had a different idea of what that meant. Who is he? What would he be? What would he do? They thought that meant, oh, he is going to be a great political leader. He will come. He will set us free from the Romans and set up a kingdom. He will become king. We will be his servants, and we will be his important people who are with him. And so Jesus begins to explain, no, you don't understand why I'm here. And he begins to explain what's really going to happen. That the religious leaders are going to reject him. They'll push him away. And that he will be killed. But also that he will die, but that he will come back again in 3 days. You see, even before Jesus died, he knew what was going to happen. He knew that he would die. But he also knew he would come back, and he knew why. And he was willing to do that. And so when Peter tried to say, no, that's not going to happen, he said, no. Don't try to turn me. Don't try to push me away from doing what God sent me to do. And so then, at the end, he calls his disciples and those that are following him and explains, whoever wants to be My disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. You see, Jesus didn't come to keep his life. He didn't come to be safe. He didn't come to serve himself. Jesus came to serve others. He came to serve you, knowing that you were far from God. He didn't want you to stay separated from God. He came to give himself so that you could have a way back to God. And so he also wants us as followers of Jesus to give up ourselves. We are no longer worried about making ourselves great, about serving ourselves. Instead, we are to follow his example and give ourselves for him. We are to give ourselves all that we are for something even greater. Our soul and the eternal reward in heaven is so much greater than anything we can hold on to here. And so he wants us to have faith, to let go of the things that are holding us back from following him and doing what he wants. We are to let go and follow and give ourselves for him. Lord, I pray that you would help us to have that kind of faith, a faith that is willing to give up everything here because you offer something so much greater, so much more valuable. Give us that faith. Give us that strength and that courage to follow you no matter what the cost. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.